The Revelation of Jesus Christ. Number 5, Isaiah 40. Comfort ye, comfort ye. Key takeaways. This article delves into the prophetic significance of Isaiah 40, focusing on the symbolic role of the 144,000 at the end of time. It examines the parallels between the Midnight Cry and the Millerite movement and the final events involving the 144,000. The article highlights the role of the Holy Spirit, represented as the Comforter, in reviving God's people after a period of disappointment and their prophetic mission to proclaim judgment and truth. It emphasizes the importance of the message of Islam and the final judgment, symbolized by the Sunday law and the lifting up of the faithful as an ensign. 144,000 in prophecy. Isaiah 40 locates the 144,000 after a symbolic 3.5 days of death and disappointment, drawing parallels with Revelation and Ezekiel. The 144,000 rise after this period to fulfill their prophetic role as God's messengers. Role of the Comforter. Jesus' promise to send the Comforter is referenced in the opening of Isaiah 40, which begins the final prophetic narrative of Isaiah. The Comforter revives the 144,000, enabling them to proclaim the truth in the last days, much like the Holy Spirit did during the Midnight Cry of the Millerite movement. The Midnight Cry and the Latter Rain. The Midnight Cry of the Millerite history is a key symbol repeated in the final movements of the 144,000. The Comfort Ye, doubling in Isaiah 40, signals the tarrying time, the same period of waiting before the Midnight Cry, which culminates in the proclamation of God's final message. Awakening the sleeping virgins. The voice crying in the wilderness is a symbol for the prophetic awakening of God's people during a period of spiritual slumber. The Midnight Cry, represented by the Latter Rain message, awakens those who are spiritually asleep. Prophetic message of Islam. The voice in Isaiah 40 is instructed to proclaim the message of Islam, a key prophetic figure tied to judgment and the Sunday law. Islam's role is connected to the seven trumpets of Revelation, symbolizing God's judgment on nations that enforce Sunday laws. God's word and promise. The assurance that God's word never fails is emphasized, echoing the prophetic certainty of Habakkuk 2:3 that the vision will come to pass. Those who wait upon the Lord will be renewed and strengthened, symbolizing the perseverance of the 144,000 during the final tribulation. Ezekiel's vision of the dry bones. Ezekiel's prophecy of the dry bones parallels the resurrection of the 144,000, who rise as a mighty army after being spiritually dead. The second prophecy in Ezekiel, directed at the four winds, symbolizes the breath of life entering the resurrected bones, aligning with the sealing of God's people. Judgment and the Sunday law, the message of the four winds in Revelation 7, represents the sealing of the 144,000 before the winds of judgment, Islam's role, are released. The sealing message is connected to the Midnight Cry and the impending Sunday law, marking the final test for God's people. The ensign of God's people. After being resurrected, the 144,000 become the ensign that is lifted up during the Sunday law crisis, proclaiming the message of the third angel to the world. This ensign represents the final warning to mankind to avoid the mark of the beast. The final proclamation. The 144,000 proclaim the third angel's message, warning the world about the dangers of the Sunday law and calling them to worship God. Their work continues until Michael stands up and probation closes, marking the end of human history. This article outlines the prophetic mission of the 144,000, emphasizing their revival, the role of the Comforter, and the final proclamation of truth and judgment in the last days. In the first 17 verses of Isaiah 40, the 144,000 are prophetically located at the end of 3.5 days, where they had been lying dead in the streets, while the world rejoiced. All the prophets agree with each other, and the prophetic events they present always align with the other prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. 1 Corinthians 14:32-33. The Comforter, who Jesus promised to send in his absence, was placed into the very first words of the very first verse of the 26 chapters that make up Isaiah's final prophetic narrative. Comfort ye my people, saith your God. The rule of first mention emphasizes that the following 26 chapters is to be understood in reference to the perfect and final fulfillment of the coming of the Comforter. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things, and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. John 14, 16-26. The midnight cry of the Millerite history is repeated in the history of the 144,000. There is a world lying in wickedness, in deception and delusion, in the very shadow of death, asleep, asleep. Who are feeling travail of soul to awaken them? What voice can reach them? My mind was carried to the future, when the signal will be given. Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. But some will have delayed to obtain the oil for replenishing their lamps, and too late they will find that character which is represented by the oil is not transferable. Review and Herald, February 11, 1896. The question is asked, what voice can awaken those that are asleep? The voice that awakens them in Isaiah chapter 40 is the voice that cries in the wilderness. Speak ye comfortably to Jerusalem and cry unto her that her warfare is accomplished, that her iniquity is pardoned, for she hath received of the Lord's hand double for all her sins. The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Isaiah 42:3. The message of the midnight cry is also the message of the latter rain. You are getting the coming of the Lord too far off. I saw the latter rain was coming as suddenly as the midnight cry, and with 10 times the power. Spalding and Megan, 5. One of the many symbols found in the Word of God that represents the latter rain message is the symbol that is recognized by a doubling of words or phrases. The doubling of words or phrases is a symbol of the midnight cry, or latter rain message in the last days. The symbolism of the doubling of comfort ye places the opening of Isaiah chapter 40 in the tarrying time, when the message represented as the midnight cry of the parable of the 10 virgins is to be recognized and then proclaimed. At that time, Christ sends the Comforter to awaken the sleeping virgins, who are prophetically represented as sleeping, and in some prophetic passages as sleeping, the sleep of death. The first verse of Isaiah 40 is prophetically located 3.5 symbolic days after the disappointment of July 18, 2020. For that is when the Comforter is sent to awaken those that are asleep. 3.5 days is a symbol of a wilderness, and there is where the voice begins to cry. Revelation 11, Ezekiel 37, Matthew 25, the history of the Millerites, along with the same waymarks of Millerite history that occur in every Reform movement, combine to identify a specific process of awakening the sleeping virgins. The process starts with the virgins going to sleep at the disappointment. The period of the tarrying time that began at the disappointment is ultimately recognized as the tarrying time. The last portion of the tarrying time is the development of the message of the midnight cry. When the message is established, it is then proclaimed until it reaches its climax, the judgment. The messenger represented as the voice in Isaiah asked what the message was that was to be proclaimed. He was told in symbolic language to present the message of Islam. The prophetic message of Islam cannot be separated from the soon coming Sunday law, for Islam is a trumpet power, and the 7 trumpets of Revelation represent God's judgment upon the powers who pass Sunday laws. Those powers were pagan Rome in 321, a symbol of the dragon, papal Rome in 538, a symbol of the beast, and the soon coming Sunday law in the United States, a symbol of the false prophet. In connection with the identification of what the message that the voice who had been crying in the wilderness was to proclaim was the promise that God's word never fails. The promise and assurance that God's word never fails is located in the identical prophetic setting that in Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 3 is expressed as, "At the end it shall speak and not lie, though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come, it will not tarry." The message of Islam will never fail, it will surely come. The last verse of Isaiah chapter 40 addresses those that wait for the vision in Habakkuk. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Isaiah 40:31. The hidden history of the seven thunders that is now being unsealed identifies three waymarks that begin and end with a disappointment. In that symbolic history, there are three waymarks separated by two periods of time. A disappointment begins the tarrying time. The tarrying time leads to the corrected message and prediction of the midnight cry. The message of the midnight cry begins a period of proclaiming the message of the midnight cry that leads to a second disappointment that is represented as judgment. Those three steps, separated by two periods of time, represent the Alpha and Omega, as created in the Hebrew word truth. In Ezekiel 37, Ezekiel also represents the voice of Isaiah 40. The voice in Isaiah 40 asks, "What shall I cry?" The voice in Ezekiel 37, verse 7, "Then prophesied as he was commanded." So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came up upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Ezekiel 37:7-8. Ezekiel's first prophecy brought the bones and flesh together, but they were not yet alive. So Ezekiel prophesied as he was commanded a second time. The second prophecy brought the bodies to life. The two prophecies are typified by the creation of Adam. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground, and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Genesis 2:7. The two-step process of bringing the dead dry bones to life is first mentioned in the creation of Adam, thus emphasizing that God's prophetic word is also his creative power. God first formed Adam, and Ezekiel's first prophecy brought the bones and bodies together. Then God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Ezekiel's second prophecy was directed unto the wind, not unto the bones, for he was told to say to the wind, "Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live." Ezekiel's second prophecy, which brings the dead bodies to life as a mighty army, was directed not at the dead bodies, but at the wind. It was a command to the wind to breathe upon the bodies. The first time the word breath is mentioned in God's word is the creation of Adam, and it is there defined as the breath of life, and what brings life into the dead bodies comes from the four winds. Angels are holding the four winds, represented as an angry horse seeking to break loose and rush over the face of the whole earth, bearing destruction and death in its path. Shall we sleep on the very verge of the eternal world? Shall we be dull and cold and dead? Oh, that we might have in our churches the Spirit and breath of God breathed into his people, that they might stand upon their feet and live. Manuscript Releases, Volume 20, 17. The two questions here are, shall we sleep and shall we be dead? Two terms for the same prophetic condition. The message of the four winds that are being restrained by angels is the message that causes the breath of God to enter the dead and causes them to stand up and live. The message of the four winds is the message of the angry horse of Islam. The message of the four winds in the book of Revelation is the sealing message. The sealing message of Revelation 7, verse 1 through 3, is the message that identifies that the four winds are restrained until the servants of God are sealed. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth, that the wind should not blow on the earth, nor on the sea, nor on any tree. And I saw another angel ascending from the east, having the seal of the living God. And he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, "Hurt not the earth, neither the sea, nor the trees, till we have sealed the servants of our God in their foreheads." Revelation 7:1-3. Ezekiel's second prophecy was directed to the wind, and the life that the wind delivered unto the bodies came from the message of the four winds. In verses 8 through 10 in Ezekiel 37, the words that appear either as wind or breath is the same Hebrew word in each occurrence. God breathed into Adam the breath of life, and in Ezekiel, the breath of life is the message of the sealing of the 144,000 that comes from the four winds. That message delivers God's creative power to the bodies that have been brought together in the valley of death by the first message. The message of the four winds is the message of Islam bringing judgment upon the United States for the Sunday law. It is the message of the midnight cry. The hidden history of the seven thunders begins with a disappointment, which begins the tarrying time. In Revelation 11, when the two prophets were slain on July 18, 2020, the tarrying time began. Ezekiel was among the dead when the Lord asked Ezekiel if the two witnesses that are dead in the street could live. The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Ezekiel 37:1-3. In verse 7, when Ezekiel delivers the first of the two prophecies, the message was simply, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. John, in the Revelation records, blessed are those who hear the words of the prophecy of this book. Ezekiel represents the dead dry bones who are blessed, as those who hear Ezekiel's command to hear the word of the Lord, and his word is truth. In chapter 2 of Ezekiel, the experience of those who hear God's word is described. And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me. Ezekiel 2:1-2. In Revelation 11, when the dead bodies hear the word of the Lord, the Comforter enters into them, and they stand on their feet. It is the Comforter that sets them on their feet. And after 3 days and a half, the Spirit of life from God entered into them, and they stood upon their feet, and great fear fell upon them which saw them. Revelation 11, verse 11. The standing up of the dead is step number one, in a two-step process that raises them out of their graves to become the ensign that is lifted up at the judgment of the Sunday law. When they stand in chapter 11, great fear comes upon those that see them, and he shall pass over to his stronghold for fear, and his princes shall be afraid of the ensign, saith the Lord, whose fire is in Zion and his furnace in Jerusalem. Isaiah 31:9. The midnight cry message of Millerite history was the second part of the second angel's message. The second angel's message produced a separation of the Millerites from the churches that were then identified as the daughters of Babylon, and the faithful were called out to come and stand with the Millerites. A body of believers was formed by that message. And then the second step was the message of the midnight cry that joined and added power to the second message. The Millerites then became a mighty army that took the message like a tidal wave across the land. That two-step process is the two voices of Revelation 18, and it is the identical process of the resurrection of the dead dry bones in Ezekiel, who were slain in the street of Revelation 11. Angels were sent to aid the mighty angel from heaven, and I heard voices which seemed to sound everywhere. Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached unto heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. This message seemed to be an addition to the third message, and joined it as the midnight cry joined the second angel's message in 1844. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, 195-196. The first waymark in the hidden history of the seven thunders is the disappointment which begins the tarrying time. The tarrying time is a period of time that is represented as 3.5 days, which is a symbol of the wilderness. At the end of the 40 years of wandering in the wilderness, Joshua led a mighty army into the promised land. At the end of the 3.5 days, Ezekiel is taken to the valley of death and is told to command the dead bodies to hear the word of the Lord. Ezekiel is a voice crying in the wilderness. The command to hear the word of the Lord brings the body parts together, but they are not yet alive, they are not yet an army, they are not yet sealed. The word of the Lord, which is spoken by Ezekiel in chapter 2, identifies that when the Comforter arrives, God's people stand while they simultaneously hear the word of the Lord. Christ promised he would send the Comforter 3.5 days after they were murdered in the street. Once standing, the bodies who are not yet alive are going to be given a second prophecy. The voice that crieth in the wilderness in Isaiah asks what the prophecy is that he is to cry. The message that both Ezekiel and the voice in Isaiah 40 are commanded to present is the message of Islam. When that prophecy is delivered, Adam comes to life as a mighty army. The living two witnesses then proclaim the message of Islam's judgment upon the United States because of the passage of the soon coming Sunday Law. The judgment of the Sunday Law is the third waymark of the hidden history of the seven thunders. When it is fulfilled, the army is lifted up as an ensign to heaven and is represented in Revelation 14. I have had an experience in the first, second, and third angels' messages. The angels are represented as flying in the midst of heaven, proclaiming to the world a message of warning and having a direct bearing upon the people living in the last days of this earth's history. No one hears the voice of these angels, for they are a symbol to represent the people of God who are working in harmony with the universe of heaven. Men and women, enlightened by the Spirit of God and sanctified through the truth, proclaim the three messages in their order. Selected Messages, Book 2, 387. The ensign that is lifted up is the third angel that is flying in the midst of heaven, warning mankind against accepting the mark of the beast. The mighty army continues to present that message to the world until Michael stands up and human probation closes. We will continue these thoughts in the next article. And at midnight there was a cry made, "Behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him." Matthew 25:6.